Which do you recognize? And so did the sensei anyway recognize that there's some flaws in all styles that specialize to
their weaknesses.
Right. All the itsus. Ichisu, they were all doing two things. So if you're going to grab the situation, you command it. So you're two different things. So you train weapons.
Okay, Rabbi, so here we are. Besides Hanukkah, Tokshin, Summer, Hey. We're holding Mamish where it should be. On the closing, we have Vedas Hatomi, with the beautiful closing words on the base of the Kenu Yiratzon Shibane Bimher Bimher Bimher. But we have a little bit of time to do a little bit of stuff to do before we get there. So, we're up to the fifth Mishnah, which is Daf Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph. And the fifth Mishnah of the fifth Perek. Misha Zachar B'Machat. Okay, so remember that yesterday we basically went through the Tefillah. And the Tefillah consisted really, not of real Tefillah, but of three brachas, which were all Nogea, the Am, with Am Yisrael.
This is a modified Shmores.
No. The three brachas, it says what they were. Shmores brachas. Emes V'yatzi, V'Aveda. Birchas Kayanim. Those are Birchas Ha'am in the sense that they all revolve around the Brocha Ta'am Yisrael. That's what we're calling the Brocha Ta'am. Nothing to do with Birchas Kayanim, which comes later after the Aveda. There was no Shmon Esrit. The Aveda of the Korbanus was the Kriyashmani Geula, so to speak, before Kriyashmani, the Brochas that we say before Kriyashmani. Mishazah, so we've gone through the Brochas. We went to the pious yesterday for the Keteres, the Ha'alah, Sa'i, Barim, and Akeba, Shalom, Izbeah. And then we discovered that the individual who's taking the Keteres basically also took not just the Keteres in the Bazach, but he also had a calf, and that the calf would hold the Keteres that spilled, because the Bazach was Malei Begadush. So now, Misha Zachar B'Machate, the individual who was Zocha to carry the Machate of the Gecholin that we talked about, and so he had to go up to the Mizbeach, now go to the second Maracha, Shok Torek, which was on the western side of the Mizbeach, and take from the Gecholin inside, to bring it now into the Hechal. Who exactly was Zocher the Machat? It actually is about looks in the Gemara, and the Yehuda Taina is that the one who Zocher the Machat is that like we did in the other pious, we go from Kohen 1 and we start counting from him on. So over here the Kohen was Zocher to the Ketores, says to the Kohen that's next in after him, Bimina, that you now carry the Machat. The Rambam says that the Misha Zachar B'Machta is mashmir with someone who was Zocher before, so you paskins, that it's referring to the one who was Zocher to the Trumas Hadesh, because that's the Machata, basically. So it was the one who was Zocher to the Machata. The Machata was used for the Trumas Hadesh initially. Takes that Machata, Natal Machata HaKesev, he takes that Machata HaKesev, why don't we use gold? What happens is that we take the kesev, we use the kesev, and then we pour the gecholim into a machata of gold, which is a little bit strange. So the Gemara says, because even though Eina Niyut b'mekom ashirut, the Torah is chosa mamonim shem Yisrael. We don't waste money. So if we could have a gold machta that could survive the heat, fine. Then Eina Niyut b'mekom ashirut, but like this, we're going to put this machta into the fire. I mean, it's simply a waste. The gold will be ruined and rapidly be lost. And we're not going to throw the money out for Ashiras, which is an important nekuda, you know. You don't light your cigar with your $100. That's not called Eina Niyut B'Mekom Ashirut. That's called stupid. So Memela, he took a machta of kesef, yalala rosh ha-mizbeach, upineata gechali melech v'hela. He now, just like we did for the Trumas Hadesh, you'll notice the parallels in language. And he was Choteh from the Pnimios, again, to get Gecholim borrowed. Yoradvi Iran the Tov Shazav, and then he went out for the Mizbeach and poured out from his Makata of Kesev into the Makata of Zohav, and Nitpazer Mimenu Kikav Gichalim, there was about a kav worth of Gichalim that spilled because it was one kav larger. So I mean, it was supposed to be full, but, you know, approximately a kav would fall out on the ground. In order to avoid any accidents, he would immediately move those Yecholim, sweep them into the Amma, which was the water channel that was used for removal of all of the waste. Every once in a while, they would plug up the channel, the entire Hazara would, they would do a sponge on the entire Hazara, basically, open up the plug, and everything would run out again. Here, you put the water directly, you put the ash, the burning charcoal directly into the water to make sure nobody's hurt. On Shabbos, of course, you couldn't do that, because you're not allowed to put out the Yecholim on Shabbos, Shelo Letzorech Aveda. So on B'Shabbat, Haya Kofeh Aleihem Psachter, they would use the Psachter. Now the Psachter was a Haitakli, you'll notice, by the way, an interesting stylistic issue, which is that the Mishnah throughout Tamid goes off on tangents all the time. In other words, it'll say a word, and then it'll say, and that thing was, or that Lishka was. You notice? It's a very fascinating style that you don't meet elsewhere except here at the closing of Kotchin. Upsakner haita, right? Or that Lishka, he haita, but Sadmiz Rafitzvon, or the Magrifa was, or the Mokam Adesha, and sometimes we don't give you first the midot. We actually just tell you how you're doing it. Now, how you're doing it, here's the information for how to get that done. What was the Psachter? The Psachter was basically a large, very large container which held a letech. The letech was a half a saw, which means that there was 90 kur in this thing, which is, a chatzi kur, I'm sorry, which is 90 kav in this thing. And you can imagine if one of these psachters needed to be carried the way it does, as we're going to see, the thought of putting 600 of these on the Mizbeach to have a tapuach of Hesha'ah, I mean, you're talking about basically close to 10,000 liters worth of Gecholim on the Mizbeach, which is absolutely insane, which is why we say that it's obviously Guzma, because it's impossible. So here the psachter, which would hold a half of a kur, was haita kli gadol machzeket letech u'shtei shar shara'ot hayuba achatshu moshech ba v'yored v'achatshu uchez ba milamalan b'shvil shalot titgalgel. So you had a kohen where they would fill this up with the deshen. This was used for the removal of the deshen, not to be confused with the trumas deshen. You fill this up with deshen, and it had two chains on it, so one kohen would support this going down the mizbeah. The other one would support it from the top. Obviously, it was an incline going down the kevesh, and if it wasn't held carefully, the whole thing would just roll over and pour out everything on the ground. And this same psachter was used on Shabbos to provide a space which would not limit the oxygen for this gicholim. So there was enough oxygen there that it wasn't actual kibui, but it was enough to protect the kohanim from getting near it, so that they didn't put it out on Shabbos, but they didn't have any accidents on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And this psachter had also other usages, so it was basically shloshet dvarim, haita mishameshet. First of all, kovim ota al gabei gechalim. And also, it was used to cover a sheretz, because a sheretz is muktzah. And Gemara goes through elsewhere what type of things we were gozer, shvus in the mikdash, things that are unassociated with the Tzuras HaAveid. Otherwise, we're not Gezer Shvus B'Mikdash. We have a standing Shvus over here, Lagabe Sheretz, so make sure nobody gets tummy. The Psachter would be used to cover a Sheretz. And Moridin Matadeshe Mi'al Gabei HaMizbeach, of course, that's as we described it. Higiyu Bein Ha'ulam V'HaMizbeach, and now they're on their way into the Ulam, and they're going to go into the Heichal to bring the Keteres. However, before going into the Ulam, Natal Echad et HaMagrefa, someone picks up, one of them picks up the Magrefa and throws it. Zorka Bein HaOlam V'LaMizbeach. Now, which Magrefa this is not clear. There's some who learn that this is the Magrefa, the one that has all of those tones in it. others taina that basically there were three magrifot. There was the magrifa that was used for actual digging, so to speak, on the Mizbeah. There was the magrifa, which was a musical instrument, Bitsura, the actual shovel.
What was it? A rake?
Shovel, like, yeah, a rake for the, we had it before, we were gorfing. Yeah, so it's a tsura of a, either a shovel affair or a... And then the third one...
Too, at the same time?
Sorry?
Yet it's an instrument too?
That's what we're saying. It's sometimes that doesn't make sense that the instrument was the shovel. I mean, it's a svara beyond that. It's no...
A musical rake.
A musical rake, yes. Yeah, I don't know. Because that's why, as we explained it, the whole nature of Aveda involves music. This is the sort of mela. It was music. Music was everywhere. So here, I mean, to turn the magrefa itself into a musical instrument is not so mashenah. But in any event, I mean, according to the way the Achronim explain it, these are three separate magrefas. You're not going to throw a musical instrument. So this was a magrefa that was, again, shaped like a magrefa, but made in such a way as to be horrifically noisy when it's thrown. And they would throw it. And in Adam Shomea Kol Chavero B'Yerushalayim Mikol HaMagrefa. When this thing was thrown, it was so noisy that it was like the insane Lutheran supposed bells, actually simply there. There's a madman in there who has a tremendous hunchback. And he sits there and there's a gigantic pot that's as big as a whole room. And he bangs on it. So in Adam Shomea Kol Chavero. There they do it a million times in a row to make sure to drive the entire city insane. But over here, Shloshe Dvarim Hayta Meshameshet. They did this once, and there was three reasons they did it. First of all, Kohen Shomea Et Kola Yodea She'achav HaKohanim Nichlasim Lishtachavot Guratz Uba. First of all, any Kohen anywhere in the city who hears this knows that this means that they are about to go in to be marked with the Keteres. Now, at the end of every Seder HaAvodah, there was a Hishtach HaVoyah, as we'll see. So in order to join in the Hishtach HaVoyah at the end of the Seder HaTomid, he knew he better get moving to get to the Beis HaMikdash in time. And a Levi, Ben Levi Shushomehet Kola, knows that we are about to complete the Hakrova of the Tamid here with the Kteres. So he knew that they were about to bring the Nesaf. But that's when you're supposed to be singing. And if his job was to be part of the choir, he ran. So Nechzasim Ladaber Bashir Vurat Subah. And the third thing was that the Rosh HaMa'amad Hayam HaMidat Atzmeim Bishar HaMizrach. This was a sign that the Mizbeach was about to be opened for the public, because now that the Ha'oila Rishon, as Ravad was Darish before, now that it was going to be finished, it was time to bring all the other Korbanos Hayom. And so Memela, he went to bring the people Ratame in the Shar Mizrach. Now there's a number of different approaches. The Gemara goes through what exactly the point was of being Mami the Tmeim. So there's the major machlokes, the different shitas of precisely how this worked. One is that in order to be Mavayish the Tmeim, in other words, somebody who couldn't be careful for the 1 week that he has an opportunity to do Aveda, he should be put there on public display. Here's the jerk who is not being Aveda today. The other reason is Menechshad, that in order to make it clear to people who don't see Joe on duty today, when this was like his whole, the past half year, this is what he's been waiting for, so they should know that it's not Chas V'Shalom, he had his store open and he was busy selling watches. He was tummy, and he's sitting here next to the Beis HaMikdash in Sar that he's unable to go in. So there's Mipnei Achshad. Others learn that it simply means, what the Rambam learns, is that it's Mipnei HaTmeim, the ones that are shayach to becoming Tohor now that they're Mechusar Kippurim. So these are people already got through there. Now they should be ready immediately to go and complete their kapara and to no longer be Mechusar Kippurim. Hadron of Amarlem HaMimune.
Li Neder. Tantunda Heidike Perek.
Hechelo Lim Bimalota Ulam. So now at this point they began walking up the stairs of the Ulam. There were 12 stairs going up the porch in front of the Hechel. Mishazachu Bidishun Mizbeach HaPnimi VaMenorah. Ayu magdimim lifnehem. Now the ones who had originally, remember, they were smack bang in the middle, because the one who had done the Dishon HaMizbeach had set down now the ashes and the teni. He set it down on next on the ground next to the Mizbeach. He didn't take it out. The one who had done the Hatovas Chomesh Neiros, he basically had left things half undone, because there were two Neiros that he hadn't completed. And he had left on the Mala Hashnia, he had left the container of the cleaned ash that he had taken out. They run in before. Now this, of course, is going according to Abishol, right? Because Abishol, remember, Alibad Abishol, which we read in the Seder, is that Hatova Shnei Neirot is kodemes to the keteres. We don't pask in this way. We pask in that the keteres comes first, and then the hatovah shtei neirot. But this mishnah is saying makdim, and they went in first. So mishnah zachah b'dishun hamizbeach apnimi nichnas v'natal asateni v'yishtachava v'yatsa. He now completes what he had done, what he was doing before, picks up the teni, and bows. At the end of every Aveda, when you completed your Aveda, the whole Seder of your Aveda, you would be Mishtachav of a Pishat Yadayim V'Raglayim. Kederach and Eved was Mishtachav to his other, and that it's to show that he's now finished his Sherus, and that he hopes that it'll be Mekubal, and that he views it as a privilege to have been allowed to do this Sherus. So he's Mishtachav of the Yotze. Misha Zocha B'Dishun HaMenorah now comes in. Matzashtein Neirot Maravim. Again, this is the question, Maravim or Mizrachim. The same question we had in Machlokas, how to understand the mission between the Rambam and everybody else. What is defined as Shtein Neirot Maravim? Midrashenata Mizrachi, Umeniakata Maravid Dolek, Shimeno Ayamat Likata Menorasho Ben Harbayim. So now he cleans out the Ner, which is all the way to the Mizrach, leaving the second from the Mizrach, which is the Ner Ma'aravi, according to both Shitas, Aliba this Tana, who learns that the menorah was arranged east-west as opposed to north-south. And he leaves the Ner Ma'aravi, if it's still burning, to use to be Madlik the menorah. And this, of course, this was the famous Nes, the Osi, the Yisrael, that the Shechina Sherebi Yisrael, which is the menorah today, leads directly into the menorah. And Matzo Shekava, if he found that it had gone out, this was in the days after Shimon HaTzadik, where the Ner Ma'aravi wasn't Dolek until the evening, Midashno Umadliko Mimizbach Ha'oleh. He would use the Mizbach Ha'oleh to do the lighting. So it's the, we darshan that from the Pasuk, that it has to be Me'al HaMizbeach. So you take the light for the menorah, from the Mizbeach itself.
Carrying a piece of wood or something?
Yeah. Notalat ha-kuz b'malash, and now he finished his job, takes the kuz that he had left on the second step, which now contains the original ash of the Hatovas Chomesh Neros and the Hatovas Shtei Neros. Now he has completed his job, so he is Mishtachave, and he leaves the Yotzei. Misha zakha b'machata. Now the one who was zocha to have the ashes in the machata now comes in to deposit the coals on the mizbeach. So he empties the machata on the mizbeach akteretz, tzavarat agechalim agabei mizbeach, he pours them out, and then he uses the bottom of the machata to spread the burning coals evenly across the Mizbeach, so that the Keteres can now be sifted carefully over those coals and burn evenly, instead of having a big pile in the middle, which won't allow it to burn evenly. So he is now radadan b'shulea machata. He uses the bottom of the machata to spread them. And b'yishtachava, that's the end of his job. He now bows, and he's yotzei. Misha zacha b'ktoret. Now the one now who was carrying the ketoret in, who was going to be bringing the ketoret, turns out, we now discover, that he asked his friend to help him. So he has a friend with him, so what he would do is at this point, he takes the bazach out from the kaf, gives now to the friend the kaf, or somewhere in both. So notu lo'avo, That is, if he has any, otherwise there's always relatives, you know, but in a pinch. Ole krovo. Nitpazer mimena letocho, not nolo bechofnav. Had any of it spilled, and that was the whole point of having the kaf in the first place, and his friend pours out the ketoret that had fallen into the kaf directly into the hands of the kohen who's going to be mafazer the ketoret, and most learn this is done after he already poured out the contents of the bazak, because he has a friend. He doesn't have to do what the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippurim, to actually be chofen, to get everything into his own, by holding it in his mouth, and then trying to use his fingers, his thumbs, to get the rest of it into his hand. Over here, his friend pours it into his hand. And now it's time for him to spread the ketoret over the ash, over the coals, I'm sorry. Umalandimoto. Now, we have to teach this, because after all, you only have one chance in a lifetime to do this. And you may get a little overheated. And so just like if you've got one more than one menorah lined up on your table, always makes sense to first start with the one that's furthest, you know. So we teach this guy, by the way, Havizor Shalotat Filmi Paneva, don't start pouring the ketores out in front of you, because you're going to have to get to the back. If you try to put your hands over, you're going to get burned. Shalot Echaveh. Hitzchilm radadan v'yotze, v'lo hayam maktir ha-maktir, ad she'amumuneh omer lo hakter. He did not begin doing the haktarah until the mumuneh tells him, go now and do the haktarah. We have to make sure that everyone was out of range, because no one's allowed to be Beinu Olam Lamizbeach at the time that the ketoret is brought. So the Mamuna took charge of that and announced time for the ketoret. V'imaya Kohen Gadol, if the Kohen Gadol was doing the haktarah, and he could choose if he wished, as he wanted at any time, to do any of the avodas without any of the pious, so then the Mamuna wouldn't just say hakter, the Mamuna would say, Ishi Kohen Gadol hakter. So everybody got out of the way when the announcement was made. V'hiktir v'ishtachava v'yatzas. Now he does the haktorah. That's the end of his avoda. Now he bows and he's yotze. Hadron aloch hechelu olim
b'ma'alot ha'ulam. So the incense, it was incense.
Incense.
So to catch on fire?
While yeah, sure. It's put over, it's an extremely fine incense. Remember, it's gone through all of those sifters, and it's extremely fine. And as he pours it over, it can burst into flame.
Isn't there smoke?
Okay, but so what are you going to do? That's not hot. So as you're pouring it, you can have flashes. It'll burn you. Try doing that with fire, flour sometimes for Srefas Chometz, and watch the beautiful effects.
You could smell it in your Yericho.
His burning skin? No, no. You can't interrupt now. This is a once in a 7-year cycle deal. Bizman shek, we'll ask afterwards. Bizman shek kohen gadol nichnas lihishtachavot. Losha al chazimbo. Now, assuming that the kohen gadol is being nichnas, and he can be nichnas if he wants just for ishtachavoya, which is a problem. Not so posh. What right does he? I thought there's a din of al yavo b'chol eis al hakodesh. I mean, you're not supposed to be there. Such a thing as a biyare konis. You come without anything to do. Remember, that was the im chisar achas because some amaneh, according to many mepharshim, chayav misa is not on the ktaris. Chayav misa is biyare konis. So what, are you just walking in to be mishtachav? So many of the rishonim say, from here you see, that ishtachavoya per se is an avoyna. In the same way that you'd be chayev for avodah zorah on ishtachavoya without being mocked or anything. And so if he wishes to come in for ishtachavoya, that's a valid avodah. No, well, there wouldn't be a chayev on anybody. Kohen Gadol has a right to just say, that's what I will do. So shlosho chazimbo, for the covet of the Kohen Gadol, there are three people that support him. Echad b'imino, echad b'smolo, v'echad b'avanim tovot. So one holds him on the right, one holds him on the left, and one holds the avnei akatef, the avanim, the beautiful avanim that are on the katef now, that are above the Choshen Mishpat.
Why is he wearing it?
No, he's wearing it, but they're supporting him really like this. They're holding him from behind.
Holding
him with the avanim today.
What's the purpose of his hand in front of him or back of him?
Back of him.
Not the Choshen,
not the Choshen per se, but actually holding the two avanim that are on the kitvot, right foot, on the katef. V'kivan, sheshamea hamimune kol aglav shekohen gadol, shu yotze, higbio lo et aparochet. When he hears the sound of the me'il, because you can hear the Kohen Gadol walking, because the Me'il is ringing. So when he hears the Kohen Gadol coming, he picks up the parochet. Now most learn that this is a reference to the parochet that was litzniut on the door of the ulam, which was the way that many had learned the parochet that we were referring to, Shnayim, Eisim, B'Shana, and so on, that was not the parochet of the traxin, right, of the traxin, because how could you have Shnayim? There wouldn't be enough room for the Kohen to be holy if B'Nehem. It's our rationals and the Farish learns here.
He's not going to live Shnayim, isn't
he? No, of course not. It doesn't, that's what I'm saying. It's not that parochet. It's a parochet of the Ulam for its Nias. And then, Ishtachava v'yatsa, Nichnesu echava Kohanim Ishtachavu v'yatsu. And then, whatever other Kohanim are together with him, supporting him, and so on, they're Mishtachava and Leiv. And now everyone that was involved in this stand on the stairs of the ulam, sort of like at the end of a play, everybody comes out and they're standing on the stage. Harishonim, the first actors, which were the ones that had the specific things that were given to them before, you know, the holder of the machta, the holder of the bazak, and the one who held the teni, and the one who held the kuz, and so on. So everybody has his special thing, so he comes out holding his, you know, and everybody is applauding, and so on. So the first ones are towards the south, and they're to the south of the other ones that are standing there. They hold the chamisha kelim biyadam, each one holds his respective kli that he had used to do his job. And so hateni biyad echad, hakuz biyad echad, hamachate biyad echad, habazak biyad echad, and the kaf and the kisui biyad echad. This, by the way, is one of the riots that's brought against the Rambam. But it's clear that the kisui seems to refer to the kaf, because it goes hand in hand with the kaf, not with the bazak, the way the Rambam is learning with me to tell it. Ubirchu et ha'am bracha achat. Now here, remember the earlier Mishnah that we had yesterday, it says birchu et ha'am shalosh brachot. It's a completely different meaning for birchu et ha'am. As a matter of fact, some even learn in the previous Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the fifth parak, that birchu et ha'am means with the am. Et ha'am, together with the am. But that doesn't really fit with the Gemara that says that nobody else could say the Birchus Kriya Shema at that time because it was too early. So therefore they don't Birchu Et Ha'am, because all of these brachas are brachas for Klal Yisrael. So the Ritzeh is a bracha for Klal Yisrael, the Abba is a bracha for Klal Yisrael, the Gula, all of these brachas are Negeah for Klal Yisrael, so it's called Birchu Et Ha'am. But here it means literally Birchu Et Ha'am, here it's a reference to Birchas Kayani, which is called Birchu Et Ha'am. Now, in the Medina outside of the Beit HaMikdash, those are Shalosh Brachot, in that we split it up into the three Psukim Birkas Kohanim and say Amen at the end of each of them. In the Mikdash, there was no Amen. There was only Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Mino Olam V'Ad Olam, and so on. And that was said only at the end of a series. So in the Mikdash, the three Brachas of Birkas Kohanim became basically one bracha, and so it was called here bracha achat. Elisham b'medina, outside of the Beit HaMikdash, omrim ota shalosh brachot. By the way, there's b'medash bracha achat, but there's also other differences here, in that in the Mikdash, ayu omrim ota shem kichitabo, the shem Hashem was pronounced the way that it's written, after they learned how to do that. U'b'medina b'kinuyo, mashen ken. In the Medina, you use the shem of Aleph Dalet for the Birchas Kohanim. Furthermore, B'medina, HaKohanim Nosim Et Yedeim K'neged Kitveihem. The normal way outside of the Beit HaMikdash of doing Birkat Kohanim is to lift the hands up to the level of the shoulders. Whereas in the Beis HaMikdash, the hands were lifted all the way up, Agabei Roshem, above head level, because there already the Shekhinah was Shera on their hands, and because of that, it should be above one's ketafayim.
Facing the arm?
Facing the arm. There are those who learn that it's reshus in the Medina. You don't have to lift up above your shoulders, but you could. Others learn bedafka not to. But migdash.
No, yet, I saw once a sefer on Birkas Kohanim, and it mentioned different men talking about lifting up your hands. It said there that the Beit, the old men of the Beit El Mekubalim, the Beit El synagogue of the Mekubalim in the Jewish quarter, that they're doing that way to have your hands up.
Right, because according to the Rambam, the difference between Migdash and Medina is outside of Yerushalayim, and therefore Beit El is in the Migdash. Wow. Right, which is why a lot of different dinim. That's why when you live in the old city, you have to have different lulav and esrog than everybody else. Because everybody else is lulav and esrog, you can be it's kosher. Those psalms that are only possible the first day, if the first day comes out to be a Shabbos, and you can be makel on your lulav and esrog. If you live in the mikdash, so there you have netilas lulav and derisa every day, so you have to be makbet on the same psalm of the first day. You have to be makbet every day. It's not only the mikubalim that are noyik like the Rambam in this.
Even today, though, we see people doing all sorts of things.
Yeah, because of this then.
Because of this.
And this is true, by the way, of normal Kohanim, but not of the Kohen Gadol, says the Tanakhama. Chutz b'Kohen Gadol, she'ena magviha et yadav l'mala min hatzitz. You can't have a Kohen Gadol put his hands above his head, because then he would be putting his hands above the Shem Hashem, which is written on the tzitz, and that's not derech kavod. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afkoin Gadol Magbiyah Tidav L'malam Natsitz. Shinemar Vayisa Aron Et Yadav. So this is Aron, this is Kohen Gadol. Some learn that this Vayisa Aron Et Yadav is not a riot to Rabbi Yehuda. It's just Shinemar. In other words, getting back to, and why do we say you have to lift your hands? Shinemar Vayisa Aron Et Yadav. Elam Vayivorachim. Bizman Shekohen Gadol Rotze Lahaktir. Now, if the Kohen Gadol is the one who himself wants to do any of these avedas. So hayah ole bekevesh, vaskan bimino. The skan would walk to his right, which is really strange, because always you only walk to the right when someone is also walking to the left. Correct? Because it says, ahoylech liyimin rabo arezabur. Because the murchash of a person goes to the right. So why would the skan be walking to the right of the Kohen Gadol, since there's only two people walking? And one of the interesting birushim that's said on this is because when the Kohen is walking up the Kevesh, to his left is the Heichal. Mm-hmm. So in order not to separate between the Kohen Gadol and the Heichal, the Skan moves over to the right, because it's as if the Shekhinah is now to him. So the Skan is Biyamina. Higia l'machzita Kevesh. When they're in the middle, now it's the Kohen Gadol is getting tired, so now he helps him up. In other words, everything is done in such a way that the Kohen Gadol does not have to work hard. We treat him like a zakein who is to be supported.
Because his garments are very heavy. Were his garments very heavy that he needed support?
His garments were very heavy, but this was derech kovod, essentially. Kovod means heavy. Literally, that's its gravitas. So we treat him with a heaviness. Now, Hoshitlo Harishon, remember that we had nine Kohanim now that are lined up, that would otherwise be the ones to have brought it up to the Mizbeach. He decided, no, I'm taking over. Okay. So now the ones who had brought up the Evarim and the Solas and so on to the Kevesh now hand over their job to the Kohen Gadol. So the first Kohen was going to bring up the Rosh Varegel now. He instead hands the Rosh Varegel to the Kohen. So Hoshitlo Harishon, the first Kohen, hands him the Rosh Varegel. The Kohen Gadol is somech aleihem. Now, there's no din of smicha on Eivorim. A din of smicha is only on the live animal. So this idea of the somech aleihem, again, is lechvodo shel Kohen Gadol. As if to say he should put his brocha on it and so on, but it is not a halacha of smicha. This zarkan, and he throws it onto the mizbeach. And the reason that he throws it onto the mizbeach instead of putting it on the mizbeach is because, remember, the Torah has compared habosar vehadam. Ve'asita olosecha habosar vehadam. And we learn on mahadam bizrika, because that it says beferish, af habosar bizrika. So you don't set things down, you throw them. And then hoshit hasheni larishon. Now, the first one, having been in a position of handing things to the Kohen Gadol, remains in that position. Kohen number two hands to Kohen number one, the Shtei HaYadayim, who in turn hands it to the Kohen Gadol, who is now Somech Aleihem, Zorkam, V'nishmat HaShini V'Halachlo. Number two now leaves. Number one is still there because he was Zorcha to be directly associated with the Kohen Gadol.
Number one hold it while the Kohen Gadol is Smicha.
Yeah. And then this continues on. Now number three hands to number two what he hands to number one what he was going to give and so on. The kacha yumoshitim lo shar kol ha'evarim v'hu somech aleihem v'zorkan u'bizmachu rotze. Now if he doesn't want to do the actual zrika gabi mizbeach, he only wants to do the semicha. So bizmachu rotze v'hu somech, and he can allow others to do the zrika. Balo la'akiv et ha'mizbeach. Now suppose he's ready to do the nisachim. Normally, when you do nisachim, whether it's the nisachim ayayin all the time, or the nisachim hamayim once, during the circus holiday only, of course, you did not go around the mizbeach counterclockwise, which was the normal way of getting to where you needed to go. Where you needed to go, in this case, was all the way at the other end of the clock. Because you needed to be at the western part, facing the Eichal, and the Shittim were on the southwest, and you were going to start on the southeast, which would mean you'd have to go all the way around the Mizbeach to get to the Shittim. Normally, if it was anything besides Nisuch, that's what you would do to get to the other side of the Mizbeach. Except, since you're carrying something which is sensitive to smoke, you don't walk around the Mizbeach holding the Yayin, because you can passel the Yayin. It's as if it has a mum. If it isn't Nifchar, now it smells. The same thing was one other thing that wasn't walked around with, and that's Olas Ha'ov. The Olas Ha'ov could simply die in the smoke. You know, that's your canary. So basically, the Kohen would normally walk directly from the Kevesh, turn left, which was never done, turn left to get to the edge of the Mizbeach at the Mizrahi, at the Ma'arav Yisroel's corner. Okay? The Kohen Gadol, however, walked all the way around. Why? Because he wasn't holding the Nisachim. It was handed to him in the same way all of these other things were handed to him. So therefore, at the time that a Kohen Gadol is the one who is going to be now doing the Nisachim, so he comes balo lakif at the Mizbeach. Where does he start? Where everybody else would start. On the Keren Dromit Mizrachit, continuing now counterclockwise to the Mizrachit Tzvonit, and from there, from the Mizrachit Tzvonis to the Tzvonis Ma'aravis, until he finally gets to the Ma'aravi Dromit, which is where the Shittim were. Not nulo, then they would hand him the Yayin Lenaseich, Hasgan Omer Al HaKeren Vasudarim Biyado. Now, the Skan was the one that was always appointed to take the place of the Kohen Gadol in the event of Psuot after the Kohen Gadol. He stood at the Keren of the Mizbeach, and he had little flags in his hands. Shnei Kohanim Omdim al Shulchan HaChalavim. Remember that down on the ground there was the Shulchan of Shayesh, which was used to put the Chalavim on. Not that we were interested in any Chalavim at this point. We were already Makar, we just call it the Shulchan HaChalavim. V'shtei chatzotzrot biyadam, and now they have the chatzotzrot to do the tzkiya, which was done every day. Taku ve'riu v'taku, they would blow now on their chatzotzrot for the sign of the bringing of the nesachim, and then would walk over to Ben Arza. Ben Arza, remember, again, these are always names that are no longer individuals. They define the position. This is the Ben Arza position, which is that he has the crashing of the symbols. And Echad Miyamino, the Echad Mismolo. Shachal and Asech, the moment that the Kohen bends over to pour the wine, start pouring the wine into the Sifalim, from which it will be Yored to the Rosh HaMizbeach and then to the Shittim. He nifas kan besudarim, the skan waves his flag, hikish ben arza betziltzol, you get a smashing, resounding sign that it's time to begin the shir, v'dibra alavim b'shir, because we know that the shir is directly connected to wine that we learned out, if you recall, in Erechim. Daf Tes Zayin. You guys start giving me trouble with this guy. I'm not going to take the competition any longer. It's a joke. Yesterday they were giving me a hard time about Rabbi Rebellion. He always says the Daf.
Rabbi, which is better? On the main Mizbeach?
Of course. Can't do anything on the Mizbeach Azov but the Ketores. Nothing. Never. You can sprinkle blood on it, but you can't put anything on it.
So where is he standing on the Sovet?
No, he's standing on top. The Sepholim are all the way by the Karnot HaMizbeach, embedded in the Keren. There's a little tube, remember, that goes all the way down. And then, as the Levim now break out in their songs, Yigiu Leperek, when they come to the end of the first movement, now Tik'u, there's again the Tikia. At that point, everybody is Mishtachave, everyone there is Mishtachave. Al Kol Perek Tikia, Al Kol Tikia Yishtachavoya. And then this was done, three prakim, each one of the Shirim Shoyom, was mechulak into three prakim. There were three movements to each one of these symphonies, which became, of course, embedded in the nature of symphonies all over the world. And now you had a yishtachavoya and a tkia on each one of the movements of the shir. Ze seder hatamid la'aveda space eloyenu yiratzen shibonim b'merav yameinu. Amen. Perfect for v'zeis chanukah samizbeach. Today's lame. I'm just beautiful. Hashir shayu alavim omrim b'migdash, b'yom harishon hayu omrim, l'Hashem ha'aretz umloa, because of course, on the Yom HaRishon, only Hashem was echad, Yom Echad. So it was l'Hashem ha'aretz umloa, tevel v'yoshveva. V'sheni hayu omrim, gadol Hashem u'lal ma'od, b'ir Eloheinu har kacho, because what happened on Yom Sheni? You had l'havdolah. Out of which basically came Yerushalayim Shalmala and Yerushalayim Shalmata, which is Gir Shechubra Lo Yachdav. So this becomes now the shir that represents that Havdola L'Doyres. B'Shlishi Ayomrim, Elokim Nitzav Ba'adas El B'Kerav Elohim Mishpot, because that was the Hatzava of the earth. And the earth is Nitzav Al Din, so once the Mayim and the elements of chaos and the lack of structure move away, and you now have solid ground, so to speak, to stand on. So that's Nitzav. Nitzav is to be Nitzav with Din. Revi'i Yom Omrim, El Nekamot Hashem, El Nekamot Ofia, because Revi'i was the creation of the Ma'aris Arakia, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Asid to destroy those who make the mistake of seeing that as the context of their Aveda, which is the Nikmas Hashem, on Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and therefore we read on Revi that parsha. V'chamishi ayu omrim, haninu l'Elohim uzeinu, ariv l'Elohei Yaakov, because that's the first life, animal life, and that's already shira and that which moves people to recognize already the level of complexity of the world, which until then was relatively simple. V'shishi ayu omrim, with the creation of man, you have Hashem Malach, because that's true Malchus, because there's an Adam to be Makir, obviously Ein Melach Beloam. Now there's an Adam that can accept Malchus, Hashem Malach, Yehud Lavesh, so on. B'Shabbat HaYomri Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbat, The Gror explains, up the Zohar, that the closing of Leyom Shkula Shabbos, which is according to the sheet of Sheet Al Feshnin, refers back to all of them. In other words, because in the Zohar, each one of these shirim is connected 1,000 years of history. That's the pshat. So in other words, instead of simply saying what was the day in my Bereishis, it's what goes on throughout that day. So in other words, moving backwards, you have in the Aleph HaShishi, so you have Hashem Malach Yud Lavesh, that's after B'yas HaMashiach, but we see that as being the essence of that millennium. And then the prior millennia, there was no Beis HaMikdash at all, and all that we had was our tefillas and the takonas of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. So that's the Harninu L'Elohim Uzeinu. The Churban of the Beis HaMikdash took place in the fourth millennium. So there we have the Keil Nekames Hashem, and so on. And then the Yesod of the Mikdash and Dinim and so on took place in the third millennium, which is the Lekim Nitzav Badaseh. And so on and so forth, going back to Kabbalah Sater, the Yesodis of the various Umays and so on. So that's how the Zohar says. It's not that all of a sudden we switch to millennia only at the very end, but rather the whole thing is merames to the history of the human world. Hadron alok bizman shekohen gadol v'slik alam esechet tamid. We'll wait till the end of Midot to do our big thing. You're right, we have to begin Midot. Saba Josh, the president had to be the Sigan. B'shlosha mikomot ha-kohanim shomrim b'beit ha-mikdash. Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Word for word.
Yeah. We are now in the sixth Yom HaShishi. Heading on around the bend.